Now this, I mean, it's hard, I suppose, when I read a text like this. You know, I'm reading simply from an ancient text that describes a particular ideal in words that might, in many respects, seem remote. It's hard sometimes to see how radical and how important the shift in values is here. In the earlier tradition, we really were talking largely about monks and nuns. The ideal practitioners of the Buddha's path were those monks who and nuns, and I really shouldn't distinguish between the two here, the monks and nuns who had engaged in an act of renunciation and pursued the monastic life in the same way that the Buddha did. Now this tradition is being opened up explicitly to lay people, not as a kind of compromise, but really as a way of saying that lay Buddhist values and the lay Buddhist life is a place where you can actually pursue the fundamental teaching of the Buddha. And as you can become a bodhisattva as the Buddha once was and pursue that great path, it's going to lead you eventually to enlightenment. And when you do that, you bring into ordinary lay life all of these important values that are significant in Buddhist practice. Sure, you eat and you drink. You go out and have a couple of beers. You may have a great feast. You may live with your family in a big house. You may even go to the gambling halls. Maybe you go and visit Las Vegas or wherever the gambling center is that's near your community. But you always do it in a way that's going to bring Buddhist values in some fashion into that place to make them available for other people. So this is the bodhisattva engaged in the world in a positive and affirmative way. It's a crucial shift in the basic understanding of Buddhist life. And it had, as you can imagine, radical effect on the spread of Buddhism throughout Asia. Chinese were always very suspicious of monastic life because it seemed to turn its back on the values of the family. But here in the figure of Vimalakirti, you've got somebody who really lives out the Buddhist values within the context of ordinary lay life. So the Buddhist tradition now is shifting. The center of gravity really is moving in a way that takes it out of that strictly monastic ideal that was present in the early tradition. Now, Vimalakirti is a pretty good example of the way this process works. But there are others, too, that are important to mention. They're worth knowing just to see how broadly the Mahayana ideal was extended. There's an important queen by the name of Queen Sri Mala, who is the focus of another Mahayana text, who is involved in all of the concerns of life of the palace. She's a queen, there's a king, there's a lot of responsibility that she bears within the ordinary life of the palace, and yet she is portrayed in the text as being one of the wisest followers of the Buddha, and is the source of one of the most important Mahayana doctrines. The doctrine itself is, of course, one of the focal points in the text, but even more importantly is the implicit claim that even this queen, Queen Sri Mala, who seems in many respects to be engaged in a life that's very different from the classic life of a traditional monk or nun, can be a locus of great wisdom and an exemplary practitioner of the Mahayana ideal. Another figure who is worth knowing about, I think, who becomes important in later Chinese and Japanese Buddhism, is a young man by the name of Sudana, who, teenager really, goes out on a long quest in order to achieve some kind of religious insight. He visits 50 different teachers, different gurus. And finally, at the very end, he comes to a bodhisattva by the name of Samantabhadra and is given a vision of the universe vastly more complex and complete than anything we found earlier in this tradition. Let me read you an example of a passage from the text that describes Sudana's concluding vision. Then Sudana, the teenager, the son of the guildmaster, reflecting upon the body of the final bodhisattva in his quest, the bodhisattva Samantabhadra, saw in every pore of that body untold quadrillions of Buddha fields being entirely filled up with Buddhas. And in every single one of those quadrillions of Buddha fields, he saw Buddhas surrounded by countless assemblies of Bodhisattvas.